Device Nation, the voice of operative orthopedics.
Greetings and salutations, Device Nation. This is Kevin Brown, your humble ASR. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I know I certainly am, but not yesterday. I was on the phone with my wife throwing trash in the dumpster right outside the OR when my phone slipped out of my hand, fell all the way to the bottom, easily 50 red bags from the day's surgery leaking all around it. I think I heard a splash. Now, I know my wife was not literally at the bottom of this toxic waste dump, but it sure felt like it, as it was her voice down there. So it inspired me. Put on my cape and put together a rescue plan, which I executed quickly, flawlessly, and I might add, courageously. How? I paid a hospital employee to do a dumpster dive and get it for me. I mean, wouldn't you? That's gross. Long-time listeners are probably wondering why I added the thing there. There's a nurse I work with. Her daughter does this to her all the time. Just adding either a wah or an to the end of any word that needs a little more emphasis, a little more whine. Now, I researched this because what I love to do. Apparently, this started in the 90s out of that whole Valley Girl phenomenon thing going on there in California. It's actually pretty entertaining to look for strategic opportunities to throw it in. Next time somebody asks you to lower your cap price for the third time this year or give up your block time, See how powerful that is? It's like a whine multiplier. Well, there's no whining in medical device sales, and definitely not today. We're keeping our chin up and looking to leverage the changes. And what a change we're going to talk about today: off-site sterile processing for the ASC. Now, I know a lot of reps, a lot of surgeons have heard about it, but they don't know a lot more than just what it is. Today, we're going to open up the hood and give you a backstage look at something that's coming our way. And it's going to change everything. Change what we do as reps, what our companies are doing, even our surgeons and facilities. Undertakers and caretakers are not going to be excited, but the overtakers, they're going to see it as a huge opportunity. You're going to want to hang around for this one. Speaking of SPD, I wanted to throw myself in the autoclave the other day. 1 minute flash, no dry time after doing my cat's litter box. It so reminds me of those touristy mining attractions in Western North Carolina, where you take your kids to sift through a pile of dirt and debris on the off chance there's a 2-carat diamond in there somewhere. There never is. So there I am sifting through the litter with my miner's helmet on, not finding any precious gems, just a lot of poop. And in comes Hattie. She's got this thing lately. When she hears that shovel working the clay, she just comes running, jumps in the box, and goes to the bathroom right in front of you. I'm like, this is strange and gross. Is this normal? So I got off the Valley Girl site to look this up, and yes, it's a real thing. Two reasons, according to the internet. Cats don't ski, but they know the value of fresh tracks. So there's that. And then number two, and I'm reading, there's that sense of security and connection to their favorite people. Well, as I record this, it's Saturday, house cleaning day today, and I am so ready. The moment I know my wife's in the bathroom and I hear that toilet brush, I am so shutting the vacuum off and racing in there to communicate my sense of security and connection with her. Now, book in that with rescuing her from a dumpster this week. We are officially stoking the fires of romance. So put your finger on this. You knew this was going somewhere, right? Yours truly had a not so fresh feeling the other day as the result of an oral surgery issue that's been brewing on for about a year. Long and short of it, I needed a graft. I asked the surgeon, "What kind do you use?" He said, "Allograft." I said, you do this business long enough, the last thing you want is a cadaver lab in your mouth. So he suggested a bovine graft. I'm not putting some cow graft in me that had avian flu, mutates in me, and then spreads to my local community and culminates in an end to Western civilization. Not going to do it. I won many a sales contest selling collagraft years ago. I knew I wanted synthetic. He agreed to give it a try. Ingenious synthetic graft from the good folks over at ZimV. That was 5 months ago. I just had the implant put in the other day. The surgeon was blown away at the quality of the bone that got laid down. I breathed such a sigh of relief. It was like a surgeon trying your stuff for the first time. Please let it end well. Please let it end well. Even more so when you're the patient on the table. So a huge win all the way around. And here's the punchline. I'm so excited. A rep reached out to me after he saw my story on LinkedIn, said he was so inspired by it all as he sat in his dentist chair. What is it with all this dental work? He asked them what grafts they were using. One thing led to another, and now he has a demo launch booked. standing ovation indeed. Well done, good and faithful Overtaker rep. That's what it's going to take in 2024, looking at any product, any specialty, any distribution model, looking for fresh tracks on all fronts, something you've never sold before in a space that may be completely new to you. Distribution, you say? What is that all about? I am actively working with one of the Overtaker distributors in my area. I ostensibly compete with him. You know my thoughts on that subject. We don't compete with anybody but ourselves to help move the ball on some products I believe bring value to my surgeons. So as you sit in your dentist chair, everybody's getting work done these days, perhaps at least consider Crazy, partnering with a competitive distributor. Look, if you're a Smith & Nephew rep, for example, and you've got a strong relationship with your surgeon and you can get a product across the finish line for your local Zimmer team, and that relationship makes that possible, why not ask? Now, one of two things is going to happen here. I know this because I've experienced both of them in just the last 7 days. Number one, you're going to be embraced with open arms by your Overtaker competitor as they listen to this show too, and they know it's not all about world domination anymore. It's a game of centimeters, and if working together gets you both forward progress, they're going to want to work with you. I know this intimately as I work with an amazing rep across the aisle. I have shoveled sidelines his way for years, and it has been all joy seeing him succeed. Well, number two in this scenario, don't even bring it up. There's this toxic competitive thing going on, unheard of in our space, right? Got to be careful with these types. The moment you show your hand, hey, I'd like to sell one of your products to my surgeon, you may just find they went behind your back to said surgeon and cut you out completely. So you need to be shrewd before you even think about reaching out across the aisle. But if it's right, it's going to be amazing. So if growth for you and your team feels like it's in the bottom of a dumpster, consider paying an employee to go down there and get it for you. No, consider fresh tracks from both a product perspective and a distribution perspective. You're going to need a sharp nose on both counts. Speaking of nose, that Zeke specialty, as the official service dog of Device Nation, got his paperwork last week. It's official. He can go anywhere. Who's a good boy? He has just an incredible nose. It is so cool to see this thing in action. He can even smell water. I can't even tell you how many times I thought, oh my gosh, he's digging another hole, when in reality, he was digging a well. You'll be out in the woods with him, and you can see when he has caught something, dialed it in, he will lock in for miles. And the closer you get to whatever it is, his behavior just starts to ramp up. So you know you're getting close. Now, maybe I've watched too many crime shows, lived in South Florida too long. I'm expecting a body, perhaps a couple kilos of coke buried somewhere. Then all those dramatic imaginations, they just get shattered. Yeah, just like that. Every time when we finally arrive at what had his nose on code red, well, it's more like code brown. You guessed it. It's always a pile of poop. Miles of tracking through those woods, excitement building, only to land on that. I shared that story with an industry friend the other day who told me that was such a great metaphor for his career, years of his life journeying over hill and dale, thinking he was just around the corner to that pot of gold, only to discover a pile of something else. So let's land, isn't that sad? So let's land on this, that pot of gold for surgeons, reps, distributors, and facilities, I firmly believe is going to be found by those who are able to increase procedural volume in a way that maintains everyone's sanity. And they're going to do that vis-a-vis one word, alignment. There's your phrase that pays. Write it down. Alignment. Let's look at the definition real quick and land this plane. A position of agreement or alliance. Let's take a look at what this looks like practically. Take a whiteboard in your mind. Put on it the rep, the surgeon, the facility, and the implant company. Now, if the goal is to increase procedural volume and every single party on that whiteboard is in alignment, then it's going to happen. But if one or more of those parties is not aligned on that, it ain't going to happen. Or if it does happen, it's going to be miserable, right? I called on a hospital one time with surgeons that had no interest in doing anything that saved the hospital any more money or doing more than two or three joints a week. And it was very frustrating for me as a rep, because there I am, small business minded, entrepreneur. What can I do to help y'all grow? They didn't care to grow. They were caretaker surgeons. I know surgeons right now that are going to give their implant company rep a big surprise over the next 6 months because they're leaving. They're going to an Overtaker company because they don't feel like the implant company that they're working with now is in alignment with them. I think this is going to be a huge word over the next 24 months. If you're a rep, right, we need increased volume. Doubling ASP is not exactly an option. Is your surgeon the company you work for and facility in alignment with that increased volume? If not, what's the outlier that needs to change? If you're a surgeon trying to figure this out, is your rep in alignment, the company that they work for? What about your facility? What needs to change for you? I'm convinced that many reps and surgeons listening to this show right now are not going to be working for the same company in 24 months, and it's all going to be about that word. They are going to find that four of a kind alignment and are going to be heading for the moon. The caretakers will stick behind and just try to work through it. The overtakers are going to find a way around this thing. Part of that lunar journey to the moon, it has to involve a discussion on sterile processing, as that is a choke point in so many ASCs. And I believe our guests today are going to leave you all inspired as to what is now possible when the rep, surgeon, facility, implant company, and SPD form an alliance. That's what Device Nation is all about right now, by the way, making an alliance with you, the listener. We are so committed to bringing you BMPs beyond metal and plastic, getting you ahead of the changes so that you can find a pot of gold in the midst of all this and not a pile of poop. And what a segue, because the conversation we're getting ready to share with you is pure gold. A sit down with Pete Duran, COO, and Dan Johnson, CEO of Instrumentum Offsite Sterile Processing. Let's listen in. So excited to be talking with both of you guys about this exciting new process for the ASC here in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. Dan, let's start with you. Walk us through the genesis of this project. How did it get off the ground?
Thanks, Kevin. My partners and I have a firm where we invest in and coach and mentor companies that are beginning to identify markets that they can grow and scale in. A colleague of ours in Western Michigan, who had been a med device rep for 30 years with one of the leading med device companies, along with several of the surgeons that he served quite well for many years, had begun to notice the developing problem of surgical instruments being presented into the operating theater and then having to be rejected because they weren't, in fact, sterile. And this was creating a growing pain point, not only for the surgeons, but for the process. They recognized that as this problem was growing, there was a need to look differently at how sterilization was handled within the industry.
A lot of challenges in this industry right now. On the SPD side, a friend of mine called me. They had to cancel all the day's cases because they kept finding trays with more and more issues, staffing things that are going on at a lot of hospitals. It's a real challenge right now.
It's a very real problem. Globally, is there anything that really affects the quality of patient care more than making sure that every instrument that is used in a surgery is actually sterile? And in addition, with more and more elective surgeries taking place, there's actually the need for more and more instrumentation, therefore more and more competency in the field of sterilization. And the current way that the SPD world works, that problem is not really being addressed both in capacity and in competency.
I love what Instrumentum is doing on the processing side and the quest for perfection. I mean, it's in your tagline, right? Sterile every time. Walk us through the newfound focus on volume. What is Instrumentum doing to address that?
Kevin, that's a great question. We noticed in our research, we realized there are a couple of trends that are already underway that are only going to continue to expand. One is the proliferation of surgery centers because more and more and more procedures are being moved to an outpatient environment. Every time a surgery center is built, you must contemplate how are you going to be able to facilitate enough sterilized sets of instruments to be able to do the surgeries that are necessary or desired in that surgery center. That creates a real opening for a partnership for surgeons and surgery centers to be able to look at outsourcing their sterilization needs to a specialist in sterilization that can raise the bar on the confidence or quality of that sterilization and also unconstrain their capacity to be able to do as many surgeries as they're capable of doing within that outpatient environment.
Pete, as we were driving down here on I-95, we passed so many fruit stands selling oranges, and it just occurred to me, our entire industry is getting squeezed right now. Whether it's industry, whether it's surgeons, across the board, we're all having to do more with less. My sales rep side tells me that increased sales fixes everything. But tell us how Instrumentum can help partner with surgeons, facilities, and industry on that issue.
Well, anybody listening in Florida will appreciate the orange squeezing analogy. That was a great visualization. Appreciate that, Kevin. So I think, as Dan alluded to, we're focused on helping surgery centers meet more volume, but there's a player in this whole scenario that I think probably experiences more pain than anybody, and that's the surgery rep, right? So the concept of getting my instruments from one surgery center to the next on time, and it means probably several days early to get through the SPD department in order to get there for the surgery, is tough. And I think, as Dan mentioned, we followed reps around for quite a while to experience their pain. And that's when the light bulb started going off. Like, there's a huge aspect of this problem that people haven't addressed. And you probably, spending 30 years as a rep yourself, there are instrument trays as doorstops and storage facilities and trunks of cars, not necessarily in the most sterile environment, to try to make sure they can meet that demand. So what we're trying to do is remove that problem from the rep. At Instrumentum, once we're consigned a set of instruments, we own them and we show up on time. So making sure that the rep doesn't have to think about the logistical side of their business and they can spend more time in the operating room and with surgeons is one of our biggest goals.
You took me down memory lane. All the times that I've been in Central hearing the staff complain about all sorts of things that found their way into the tray from being transported by reps in the back of their truck, whether pine straw, pine bark nuggets, even insects. I could go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Being able to contain that delivery in a controlled environment certainly would make a lot of sense.
It does. I think my favorite story is a surgeon had a tray opened up in the operating room and there was a pacifier in the tray. So that goes down as the most creative thing left in an instrument tray.
Mm-hmm. So walk us through practically how this system operates. Real life example, I walked out of the OR last Monday having completed 9 cases. Mm-hmm. When I walked out of the door on that last case, my second job just began,
sure,
which is reassembling everything and getting everything staged for the following week.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through where Kevin stops and Instrumentum begins.
So our intent is that at the time you're trying to reassemble the trays and get them back into some sort of a circulation, because they're consigned to us, we would be working with the surgery tech at the ASA to make sure that that happens properly. So the instruments get assembled back into the trays, into the rigid container, and then they go into one of our carts. So there's a notification process at the surgery center that lets our team know that that instrument set is ready for pickup. So whether it's one or all of the 9 sets of instruments you just finished or your team finished, our drivers go and pick them up, put them back in our trucks, which are environmentally controlled. So we want to make sure that anytime those instruments are in our possession, they're in the right environment. They come back to our facility and there's a what I'll call an offloading process. So the instruments are scanned back into our system. We now know that we have them in the building. And we will let you know that as well. Hey, we've picked them up and we've got them and now they're going through the decontamination process. At what phase they are.
So we're talking a Domino's pizza tracker for industry.
Yeah, your pizza's in the oven, Kevin. That's exactly what we would do for you. So once they go into decon, obviously the procedure there is fairly standard, right? They're removed from the trays, the rigid containers, they run through the entire process, go into sterilization. Once they're done with sterilization, then they are now put into our sterile storage environment. So from that point, you're also aware that that tray and that instrument set is ready to go to the next surgery at any point in time. What happens then is our system receives, quote unquote, an order for a new pizza. We pick it, put it back in the cart, and that procedure is repeated over again. Our team puts it on the truck in the environmentally controlled area, and then we deliver it to the surgery center. They're notified, and then it heads up to the OR, and then we just repeat that process over and over again. So rather than you using those instruments set potentially 3 to 4 times a month, in our system, the objective is you could use those sets 10 times a month, which gives you tremendous amount of increased capacity. So you're not running around looking for trays.
Dan, when we were talking out back, I kept hearing win, win, win. So when we're looking at the 3 primary stakeholders that Instrumentum is looking to provide this service for, the rep, the doctor, and the surgery center, let's walk through each one of these. What do you see as the primary value proposition to each one of these categories?
Kevin, that is one of the most exciting things that we discovered in the process over the last couple of years of preparing for the launch of Instrumentum. We're very comfortable in disruptive environments, really identifying what the pain points are, what the solution is that could be provided, and projecting ahead 2 or 3 years as to how we can help increase the productivity of everybody in the market. This is a very unusual scenario where in this disruption, every stakeholder actually wins. What I mean by that, for example, is when Uber started, taxis were disrupted. In this case, everybody has a chance to gain. So let's talk first about the med device companies and the reps. Right now, a rep is spending 20, 30, 40% of their time actually searching for, reassembling, following their instrumentation all through the process, both before and after the surgery. Because, as Pete mentioned, the sets are consigned to us at Instrumentum, and through our entire process, they never leave our chain of custody except when they're in the surgery environment with the surgery tech. Now that frees up all that time for the rep to be able to do what they want to be doing, which is serving their surgeon clients well and being in surgeries, actually providing more service and more sales.
That's all music to my ears. As a private box opener, I work for a surgeon. It's different. It's a very transparent relationship. I don't have a vested interest in doing anything other than making my surgeon's day smoother and allow him to do as many cases as he wants to do, right? So as you look to the surgeon part of this equation, where's the wow for them?
I think sometimes the biggest wow can be a very simple thing. A surgeon would like to work in their core competencies and be able to do as many surgeries as possible. And so when they have the confidence that every set of instruments is going to be presented to them at the highest standards of sterilization, therefore ready for them to perform without interruption in the surgery, and they have as many sets as surgeries that they are able or choose to perform, that is a pretty big wow factor for a surgeon to have the competence and the capacity to focus solely on their core competencies as opposed to worrying about sterilization.
Capacity and confidence, that's a buzzword in itself. What about the facilities? Where's the value proposition for them, Dan?
Well, every time a new surgery center is built and sterilization has to be contemplated, there's a large CapEx expense that has to take place up front to buy that equipment. You have the staffing issues that everybody is dealing with today to have to find, hire, train, maintain, retain good staff, and ultimately take on the responsibility as well in the facility of being responsible for whether, in fact, the instrumentation is sterile. All of that now becomes part of what Instrumentum handles, and a surgery center, other than the small tabletop scenario to do a tray at a time or a drop that might take place on an emergency basis, everything that's involved in scheduled surgeries can be outsourced and trusted to Instrumentum as their partner in sterilization, freeing them up again of all of that extra non-core work that allows them to put their time, resources, and even additional square footage into further operating environments.
I'm thinking as well, these small 2 to 3 room operatories, the scarcity of temperature and humidity controlled space, that's got to be a big deal.
It is. Another thing that has to be managed, not in the core competency, that's expensive to do and also to be responsible for. Because the entire process happens within those controls within Instrumentum, it is another peace of mind factor and something that the surgeons and or the surgery center do not have to manage themselves.
I see a huge benefit for smaller surgery centers to be able to convert what has been a storage room into a new operating theater because they don't need that space anymore. And now they've got another room that's generating income, which that storage room was never generating anything, right?
Absolutely. Kevin, really, surgeons and or teams, organizations that build a surgery center are in business and need to be able to look at things from a success, profit, productivity standpoint. And so to your point, our ability to remove all of that constraint and allow them to maximize the use of their facility for their purposes and their success is an added benefit to partnering with Instrumentum.
So one thing I know that a lot of SPD people have not really planned on because it's just kind of landed in our lap is the challenge of finding good help these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's universal.
Sure.
From hospitals to surgery centers, finding people that want to do SPD and do it at a high level, super challenging. What are y'all doing to address that?
Well, I'll give you a very simple example is simply the way we're writing our job descriptions. So our job descriptions are written in a story format, and we describe the character that we're looking for to the point where we might visually represent a character in a specific movie people would know about and say, that's what we're looking for. If that's you, we want you to be here. So when people read an Instrumentum job description, they don't want that job. They want to work at Instrumentum. So that's important. Then the biggest thing is we have to demonstrate it. So when they get here, we want to make sure that Dan knows everyone's name when they walk in the building. We've actually heard feedback. They've never been treated like this before. I mean, they are the most important part of our company is when those instruments get here, we need them to treat them like their own. And all of us have had a family member go into surgery. And I know when my kids went into surgery, as soon as they went under, I was praying and hoping that whoever was doing that had the right equipment and forethought to do it properly and take care of them. So we take this very personally.
So if y'all tested me and I related most strongly to Napoleon Dynamite, would that be a problem?
The creativity would be welcome.
Yeah. Dan, I know you've got some thoughts on this.
Thanks, Kevin. I really do. And coming right alongside what Pete is saying, once the culture's right and people love to work at Instrumentum, want to work at Instrumentum, and feel truly valued and empowered to be a part of the excellence we're pursuing, then it gets down to some real practical things, too. Most SPT environments are in the basements of hospitals. You'd be amazed at how many of the people who have interviewed with us walk through and realize they can look out windows and see trees and are in a first-class facility that they enjoy and feel really proud of. The engagement every day is about how to be excellent, not how to get by with minimums or get into politics, or even something like the frustration in a traditional SPD department where something goes wrong in the operating room and everybody comes downstairs and yells at the SPD team and disrupts everything that they're doing for whatever somebody's thing of the moment is. We don't have any of that here. 100% of our time, all of our people can be focused on delivering excellence in every tray. Matter of fact, we even put it as the tagline right underneath our name, plain and simple, Instrumentum, sterile every time. So the singular focus of the entire team about what they're setting out to accomplish also creates a culture that's aligned and builds some great teamwork at the same time.
Well, you addressed the trust issue from the rep side. I would be more than happy to turn that function over to y'all and give me half of my day back, right? What about developing that sense of trust between the other stakeholders for them to be able to sleep at night knowing that it's all taken care of?
Kevin, actually, you've identified there the singular paradigm shift that's left for everybody to embrace. It's the trust factor of allowing sterilization to be done in a different location by people that aren't on the team of the ASC or the hospital, and being able to have the confidence that it'll be there on time and it'll be sterile every time, even though, you know, it's not directly related to the people they're working for, a ASC or a hospital. Here's a couple of the broader scenarios that are taking place. A lot of people are not focusing on the fact that we're coming up on the impending retirement of, some estimates are as much as a third of the nursing workforce across the country. You know, that generation of 40, 50, 60-year-old nurses who were getting ready to retire pre-COVID took one for the team because that's the generation they are and stayed on, but now are really ready to start retiring. And this is a serious problem in our segment, is that 30 or 40 years ago, nurses were trained heavily in sterilization in their first year nursing preparation. They understood what sterilization was, how it had to be overseen. And today we have a younger generation of people who are used to getting answers on an iPhone, but don't necessarily understand the real depth of what's important in sterilization. So you're not only losing a lot of the workforce, you're also losing a lot of historical knowledge. And so even if a surgery center has somebody who's been working for them for 10 or 20 years, they're facing turnover in the future. Or even if Betty or Joe happens to need to take a 2-week vacation, what we're able to do in our environments is bring the efficiencies of having a larger production facility that does it consistently every time, with logistics that makes sure it is delivered on time, and takes the pressure of those labor issues off of the ASC, at least as it relates to sterilization. And also, we can deliver a greater sense of confidence in our focus on competency and sterilization as well.
One thing I'm confident of, Dan, is that sterilization in a different location, it's been tried before with some real mixed results. And I have a feeling that y'all have taken some notes, what worked, what didn't work. Tell me what y'all are doing to differentiate yourselves from what's been done in the past.
There's several differentiators that are baked into the environment here at Instrumentum. The first I would highlight is we partnered with Clean Rooms International to actually build within our facility an ISO 7 level clean room. ISO 7 level is considered medical grade. That has to do with air changes in the hour, particle environment, in essence, the cleanliness of the space. And we are, to our knowledge, one of, if not the first companies in the country to actually fully assemble and sterilize all our instrumentation in an ISO 7 level clean room environment, so that when it comes out of the autoclave, sterilized, locked in a rigid container, now loaded into a case cart that's gasketed and sealed, from the time that set of instrumentation leaves our facility to the time it's opened, ready to go into the operating theater, it has never been exposed to anything other than ISO 7 level air and environment. That's a differentiator for protecting the exposure to the instruments compared to the way it travels most of the time in most environments now. Second, our investment in water quality. If you think about it, steam sterilization is only as good as the water that creates that steam. When people come through our facility and understand that our water has five impacts, all water is softened, all water is UV light treated, all water is carbon filtrated, most water is RO processed other than what's going directly into the autoclaves, a full second UV light treatment, and then through the deionized polishing procedure for your third stage sinks and et cetera. I know that's getting into the weeds a little bit about that process, but the bottom line is we are confident that there is no higher delivering of water quality than what we've invested in and produced. And third, I would point out that with rigid container processing, as opposed to blue wrap, just examples of how every step in the process is delivering the highest possible confidence for knowing that it's sterile every time.
Dan, two words that strike fear into the heart of many people in our industry is joint commission. And then we got AAA on the ambulatory surgery side, all about compliance and standards. Walk us through what hoops y'all are having to jump through here, what you've already done, what you're looking at right now.
So glad you asked that, Kevin, because as a leader in this new category of offsite partner sterilization services, we knew that there would be questions about meeting the compliance requirements within hospitals or ASCs, because when Joint Commission comes to their facilities, if they've chosen to outsource a service, they're going to have to show that the outsourced service provider meets the same compliance requirements that they are required to meet. Currently, Joint Commission has focused on hospitals and ASCs that are part of hospital systems. There is another certification company that is equally accepted by CMS to do those certifications called DNV. And DNV has actually now participating in certifying this new category of offsite sterilization facilities. We are quite proud, and I do, if you'd allow me, want to give proper credit to Mike McGrath, our Director of Quality and Compliance at Instrumentum, who worked with DNV through this entire process. We actually, in December, went through the full certification and were granted the Advanced Sterile Processing Certification by DMV, meaning that we now can totally provide to anyone who outsources this service to us the confidence that we have already met all of the criteria that they would be required to meet for Joint Commission as well. To my understanding, we are the first company in our industry to be given that advanced certification for sterile processing even in advance of opening. Normally, that does take place 6 to 12 months after you're operational. Testament to the team here for the level of quality in our facility and in our processes, the DNV would recognize that and grant that certification ahead of time.
Well, Pete, there's a surgeon in our space. I won't embarrass him and call his name out or anything, but I always enjoy running my crazy ideas up his flagpole. I know he's going to tell me the ugly truth and not give me a beautiful lie. And at the end of just about every brainstorming session, he usually asks me the same question. Well, Kevin, who's going to pay for it? It's a great question, so I throw it out there. Who's going to pay for offsite sterile processing?
Well, we've wrestled with that a lot, and I think up front we identified that the people who will pay for this are the people who benefit the most. So those are typically people that would benefit from either better asset utilization or the opportunity to do more surgeries and generate revenue. It's that simple. Yes, many of the ASCs out there have invested in what I'll call a nominal SPD department with no ability to store. So for them, they have real points of pain. If we can drive more surgeries through them, they will gladly pay for the process. If I'm a large instrument OEM, and you lived with one for a long time, Kevin, set utilization is a really big issue for them. So the average around the industry is around 3 to 4 instrument turns a month, right? You think about this set of instruments you spent thousands and thousands of dollars to produce sitting idle, waiting to be sterilized in hospitals and surgery centers. If we can increase that from 3 to 4 to 6 or 7, we've made a tremendous impact on the economics of that instrument manufacturer. So those are the two audiences that typically would pay for this. And I think it's probably on a case-by-case basis, depending on the surgery center, the relationship with the OEM, and we have the flexibility to kind of react to those different business models. It has to be an economic discussion focused on throughput and quality.
Dan, I have to believe that before y'all invested millions of dollars in this project, that you had to ask yourself the same question as well. Who's going to pay for it? Curious what you came up with.
Thank you. That's a great question, Kevin, because obviously this isn't a charity. It's a business, and we are excited to identify where the market is going, but that requires thinking about it a little differently. What we understood in the bigger picture, in particularly with the medical device companies, when you're investing $50,000 to $100,000 per set of instruments for a knee or hip surgery, and you're, as Pete said, only utilizing those sets three or four times a month in a loaner pool scenario, the ability to take and utilize that instrumentation six, eight, 10 times a month is a positive move to the bottom line of the medical device companies in the millions or tens of millions of dollars at the end of the day. So what we knew is if we could revolutionize the competency that was being delivered together with a world-class logistical solution that keeps track of every set all the time and moves asset utilization from three or four times to six, eight, 10 times a month, this actually becomes a net gain for our medical device partners. Matter of fact, you know, we are quite confident in the assumption that the first medical device companies that actually implement world-class sterilization and best-in-class logistics and move to this model will actually profit from making that switch, and in the process, greatly improve their logistical capacity as well. We were quite surprised in our due diligence to realize that, you know, 10, 15% of the sets of instruments that are out there at that kind of cost, nobody even knows where they are in the process. Sort of a funny experience here from about 2 months ago. One of the executives from one of the leading medical device companies that we've been interacting with, he says, you know, we have, and he gave a price tag. It was in the hundreds of millions of dollars of instrumentation around the country. And when you don't really have a good line of sight to where some of that is, that's difficult. And at utilizations of three to four times a month, he said, I feel like I bought a Ferrari, but I can only drive it 3 days a month. And we realized if we take those things together and combine best-in-class sterilization with world-class logistics and provide that as a value-added included service, this actually becomes a positive net gain step forward for our med device company partners, improving their service and improving their capacity.
I so get that. I mean, I can go one step further and tell you that we get these sets from the company that are filled up, but practically only 40 to 50% of the instruments that are in that tray we're ever going to use. So there's a lot of slack built into the system, instruments being created at someone's expense that are actually never going to be put into a surgeon's hand.
Wow, Kevin, it's so exciting. I appreciate your articulation on that because we are able in our model to custom design our partnership with a med device company, with a surgery center, with a group of surgeons to actually deliver what they need. The main focus we have is primarily in orthopedic. We're dealing with maybe 25 to 30% of the surgeries in an environment, but 60 to 70% of the instrumentation. And so when we can really service that category well, it has intended and positive unintended consequences throughout the entire system. And we believe this is where the industry is going. We intend to produce the solution for where the industry is going, not for where it's been.
Sounds a lot like that Wayne Gretzky quote, skate to where the puck's going, right?
That makes a smile because that is exactly what's happening here. I love that Wayne Gretzky quote. It reminds me of the story that most people are familiar with where the Netflix team in their early stages actually went before the board at Blockbuster and presented Netflix and their vision for the future of where the industry was going in access to entertainment. And the Blockbuster board heard the entire presentation, contemplated it, and ended up passing because they did not want to give up the late fees that they were earning, the $30 million a year or whatever it was in late fees that they were earning on Blockbuster videos. I think today we know where Netflix is, and we know where Blockbuster is. We feel like that same kind of scenario is going on right now in the not only SPD space, but in the entire instrument med device space. Our proposition is that the first medical device companies that actually implement offsite sterilization with combined with world-class logistics will actually launch themselves to the front of the market because here is the biggest shift within all of this that's happening. Current state, instrumentation is all being delivered pre-sterilization to the facility, the hospital, or the ASC that's going to perform that procedure, leaving the med device companies or the reps somewhat limited by, held hostage to, subject to how well that facility can both sterilize and deliver it right to the surgery environment. In our model, all of that is being handled by Instrumentum for our partner med device companies and delivered into the hospital or ASC setting post-sterilization, never to be touched again until it's ready for the operating environment. That shift in of itself, together with all the financial and logistical efficiency gains that the med device companies gain, more than offsets the costs associated with paying for the sterilization. It can be a net win financially in the competence of sterilization, in the reps time, as we spoke about. And most importantly, it eliminates the hospital or the ASC even having to worry about sterilization because everything is delivered ready for the operating theater.
Well, Pete, one thing I know about this industry is that we can be so loath to change. It's going to take quite an entrepreneurial set of eyes, isn't it? And some courage to make that leap for a lot of facilities that have been doing things the same way for so many years, right?
Well, it is, Kevin. I think because all of us at Instrumentum and our investors, we're all entrepreneurs. We've crossed a few chasms with a great book by Jeffrey Moore called Crossing the Chasm, and we're at the precipice right now. So there'll be early adopters, there'll be people who are dragged along kicking and screaming in this process. And I think we've been very thoughtful about how we're going to go to market, both from a sales and marketing perspective, and then how we're going to implement our solution. I'll talk about go to market first. Hospital systems, large IDNs, very complex businesses, right? They have a lot on their plate. Surgery is one aspect of what they do, especially nonprofits. It's a very different business model. So when you try to, and by the way, the people, as you mentioned earlier, who've struggled with doing offsite sterilization, they've tried to sell into the hospital system. Those leadership teams change even during the contract negotiation process. A year and a half later, you still haven't got a contract. We have focused heavily in orthopedics with surgery centers. They're businesses. Right? They're business people. They have throughput and volume. So they understand the economics of what we're doing, the quality, and the fact that we can just change their world. And as you mentioned before, we can take that storage room that's not properly environmentally controlled and turn it into a revenue generating room. So our go-to-market model is different. We will also generate success in a market, and we already are hearing from the local hospitals around, even here in Boca Raton. They're starting to hear what we're doing. That means they're going to come across the chasm a little bit later, but be much more willing to when we've proven out our business model. The other thing we're doing is we're building what we call micro facilities in our markets. So we get very close to our customers, both literally from a distance of where we are door to door. But each one of these buildings has a very small contained culture that we can repeat and refine as we grow the business.
Pete, such a great point on that chasm. Dan, it takes me back to Lord of the Rings. It's all Lord of the Rings with me. I'll never forget the king saying he did not want to risk open war on the plains. And Aragorn came back with a line I never forgot. Open war is upon you, whether you would risk it or not. Dan, if you could talk to that for just a second, whether we choose to do something or do nothing, what's coming?
Kevin, you're inspiring us because as a team that actually embraces change and looks to get ahead of what's coming and is willing to take the risks of facing the inevitable and the potential, you are nailing the moment that we believe this industry is in. As we really looked hard over the last 2 or 3 years at where things are going to be in 2 or 3 years from now, to your question, there are quite a few inevitable shifts that are taking place that are almost unarguable at this point. For example, the proliferation of surgery centers, because the estimates now are that 3 to 5 years from now, 50% of surgeries in the United States will be done in an outpatient environment. The baby boomer generation and the growth of elective surgeries that no longer need to be done in a hospital environment. The reduction of the nursing force in the country and the loss of knowledge in sterilization when we need to be producing more and more and more, you know, highly prepared, competent sets of instrumentation. All these shifts are coming. And when you look at the cost of investment required to produce sterile instrumentation to keep up with these trends, it's actually a comfort to us to know we are positioning for what is inevitably coming. And we believe that those people within the industry that embrace that change and partner with us to actually deliver this new paradigm shift will win. And we look forward to doing that with our partners in the days to come.
Great stuff today, guys. Any final thoughts as we close up shop here?
Well, Kevin, I think the close that war is coming whether you would risk it or not. We're looking for people that are ready to go to battle. I mean, that's kind of how we come in here every day, a little bit of David versus Goliath. I don't want that to sound too dramatic, but if you're a rep that's struggling with the issues we talked about, if you're a surgeon that's just looking to drive more business and not be afraid, right? Even if you're a hospital exec and you know this is coming, reach out to us. We'll provide our contact information, our emails. Email me personally, and I'll work with Dan and the team to see if we can lead you guys into battle and get a win.
Now you got me inspired. I want to go home and watch all three director's cuts. It's going to be a 10-hour marathon. Dan, any final thoughts?
Kevin, I think Pete summarized it well. We're really here to partner with those that we can service well and add value to. We also really appreciate all that you and your team at Device Nation do to educate, inform, the passion that you bring to this industry. It's an honor to be included on the podcast here with you, and also give a shout out to Terry there as well. Thank you very much for allowing us to articulate what we've done and where we're going, and we look forward to continuing to serve this entire industry as we go forward.
Wow, what a conversation today. Our podcast numbers would triple if I just had Dan Johnson's voice. Dropping a lot of C words here today: confidence, capacity, culture, crossing chasms, not chasing trays anymore. I'm all in on that one. Just backordered implants, right? Thank you, Dan Johnson and Pete Duran, for taking Device Nation behind the rope to see what's coming down the road. I want to close up all this stuff today with three C words of my own: cosmetology, crazy, and control. Don't leave quite yet. This story is hilarious. This is like the bonus section of the DVD. I went to get my hair cut the other day, as I have this AUKUS trip planned and want to look presentable, and my barber I've used for years was closed. So I remembered there was this new barbershop that opened right down the street from Device Nation HQ. So I went in, everything looked good, sat down in the chair, gave this new stylist some pretty clear instructions, a little less on the sides, give me some length on the top. So we started cutting away, and I went into my mental haircut zone, thinking about cases, the show, going to Atlanta, and I was literally jarred out of it all by the sheer weight of the piles of hair falling in my lap. I was looking in the mirror to get a handle what is going on here when this new stylist spun my chair sideways so I couldn't see, and told me that people watching him work made him very nervous. They just needed to trust the process. Now I thought right there, this is not good. My stylist has a little bit of crazy going on here. And in hindsight, that was the moment I should have feigned a hospital page. Have you ever done that before? Gotta get to the hospital. It's an emergency. Let the old stylist fix it when he got back into town. But no, that would have meant taking the cape off, getting out of that comfortable chair, all the wonderful music, returning the complimentary beverage, and looking really, really stupid for 24 hours. I just decided to let it play out. Thought I dodged a bullet. Until I got home and noticed neither my wife nor my daughter could make eye contact. They kept looking up. I thought, oh my gosh, this is not good. My wife finally broke the ice. Who destroyed your hair? So here's the point. If you haven't noticed, we're all getting a haircut. And if things are not aligned on our whiteboard, staying in the chair fixes nothing. And I think I speak for all of us that we don't want to just sit there and find not a pot in a few years, but a pile. So last C word, you in the audience, you are in control. I certainly wasn't handcuffed to that chair, and neither are you. Facility, surgeon, SPD, rep, industry. What needs to be added for alignment in your world? What needs to be taken away? Be the agent of change. There's another good C word. Bring those five entities together and going the same direction. Congratulations. There's your pot. So SPD in the ASC, huge component of said alignment. Again, thank you all to the wonderful folks over at Instrumentum for letting us in that back door. And thank you, Device Nation. Hope none of you are in a dentist chair listening to this right now. Hope you all have a wonderful week. And so look forward to seeing you all next time.